members of the public. We are here to talk about a very extensive bill, Senator Pappas. Goodness, we were trying to figure out if we should print this again for the next committee, and apparently we do have to do it because it changes. But Senator Pappas,
Madam Chair, I believe we have a technical amendment.
Okay. So, members, we have before us in the agenda Senate File 1398, and the author has an amendment.
Madam Chair, this is my first committee, so it's an author's amendment.
Senator Pappas has the 13A amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, members, and Madam Chair, thank you for hearing this bill. Unfortunately, we are a late bill because the Pension Commission members didn't get appointed in the House until late. And although we worked very hard and diligently, we still didn't finish the pension bill until last Wednesday night. So,
Senator Pappas, if I may, the staff is telling me that you also have to act on incorporating Article 1. And then you can proceed. It's kind of a technical.
So we need to adopt this amendment. We just amended this amendment to adopt this document.
So we have to adopt the 12A.
The 12A.
Mm-hmm. Okay, to present it.
I'll move the 12A amendment to House File. I don't have the Senate. Senate File 1398.
Okay. Yeah. So all of those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The other thing we ran into is that our long-term executive director, Larry Martin, retired in the middle of session. But I have with me the deputy director, Rachel Thoreau, who is actually the acting director of the Pension Commission. And so I will briefly talk about the different articles in the bill, and then she will help me if I don't quite state it correctly, or if members have any more in-depth questions. Or
Thank
we
you.
Can ask any in-depth questions to Senator Johnson, because she's on the Pension Commission.
Thank you. Thank you, Senators.
Thank
We're
you.
Team up for this.
Madam Chair and members, I'm going to talk about everything, basically. So Articles 1, 2, and 3 are related to our interest rate assumptions. And Senator Thompson can also answer difficult questions. He's on the Pension Commission. Our interest rate assumption for the last, we're in the middle of what we call select and ultimate. So we were at 8.5%, but over 5 years, we were moving to an 8% interest rate assumption. And this is what the State Board of Investment, this is what they project, or we project in consultation with them, that the state is going to get at least 8.5%. And because of recent experiences with the downfall in the economy, we feel it's prudent to move to 8%. So three of our major pension funds, the Minnesota State Retirement System, MSRS, PERA, the Public Employee Retirement Association, which is for local governments, and the St. Paul Teachers Retirement System have all agreed, and their boards have agreed, to move to an 8% interest rate assumption. The Teachers Retirement Association is not included because they are waiting for some experience studies to come in, and they have some other modifications that they want to make in their plan sustainability proposals for their plan, and they want to wait until next year. So we're lowering the interest rate assumption for those three plans, but not for TRA. Article 1, 2, and 3 basically does that. Article 4 is the post-retirement adjustment trigger modification. So that there has been in law, when a plan reaches a certain funding level, there's an automatic post-retirement adjustment. And when it's there for 1 or 2 years. And what are we doing with that? We're modifying it so it's not automatic?
It just changes some of the percentages and such.
All right. It just changes some of the percentages. So we're just modifying that. Article 5 changes a provision that says that there's a mandatory rate-setting procedure for, it's called the Employer and Employee Contribution Stabilizer Provision Modification. And this shifts that from being a mandatory rate-setting procedure to an advisory procedure so that the board doesn't have to do it automatically, but they can take it into consideration when they're planning. Is this another COLA?
Just employer and employee contribution.
Oh, yes, when they're determining how much the employer should contribute and how much the employee should contribute. Article 6 is police and firefighters' retirement supplemental state aid, and that's moving that from a temporary fund to a permanent fund for fire state aid, and we did the fire state aid, I believe, last year. Article 5 for statewide volunteer firefighter retirement plan modifications, we're adding additional benefits. That was Article 7. Article 8 expands the statewide volunteer firefighter retirement plan administered by PERA to include monthly benefits for firefighters in addition to a lump sum and defined contribution plans. Article 9 are the working group recommendations. The state auditor chairs a working group for the volunteer firefighter associations, and so they come in every year with their modifications. Article 10 are particular volunteer firefighter relief association changes. It allows the Roseville Volunteer Firefighter Relief Association to substitute retirees for active members on the Relief Association's board and allows the Centennial Fire District to transfer their service credit to adjoining fire service areas. Article 11 are small group retirement changes. That is a variety of kind of individual requests that we go through one by one that will allow basically to correct any mistakes that might have happened for the retirees. And I can, if people have any questions about that, we can talk about those in more detail. Article 12 are the MSRS, PERA, and TRA administration bills. And then Article 13 is just a cleanup provision that removes obsolete dates. And Article 14 is the MRF merger. Now, we are completing the merger of the Minneapolis Employees Retirement Fund into the PERA general plan. And we are able to, through an actuary study that was done by PERA, we're able to reduce funding, both by the employer contributions, these are local governments, and by the state. So the local employer contributions are reduced to $21 million annually, and the state contribution is reduced to $16 million annually from $24 million. So we have a savings to the state of $16 million, which our leadership has already spent. So that we don't carry any money in this bill. It's carried in the State Department's bill. So, Madam Chair, I tried to just be brief, and if people have any questions about any of these sections, because if you serve in any other committees, you'll hear it in rules, and you'll hear it in finance division, and you'll hear it in full finance, and you'll hear it on the floor. So by that time, everybody's going to be a pension expert. And I'll know the bill a little bit better by then.
Thank you, Senator. This is kind of a complex bill, of course, and I think that we do have some testifiers. Senator Anderson, do you have a question?
Question. The amendment on 13A amendment, it talks about deleting Section 6 on page 9. So I'm wondering, we're just deleting the new language that's on there and the crossed-out language. So you had mentioned, except for, I think, TRA was going to be 8%, but if we do what this deletion says, then the Transit Commission will go to 8.5% compounded annually. Am I correct in assuming that?
Senator Pappas.
It's being repealed somewhere else is why.
Oh, just duplicative. Yeah. Ms. Thoreau reminds me that this was just duplicative language, that the Transit Commission will be going to 8%.
Right, this particular section.
So this is stated somewhere else in the bill. That's why we didn't need to have it.
But, Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Pappas, you're not getting rid of the 8.5% that's designated there. That's what I'm concerned about.
Is in the bill. Yes, Mr.
Senator
Madam
Pappas.
Chair and Senator Anderson, we'll look for it in the bill.
Page 9.
Date. It was taken out in some cleanup. So
Ms. Thurlow, if you would like to...
Why don't you explain
that? Yes, go ahead and explain that. Introduce yourself and go ahead and respond.
Explain to everyone.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Rachel Thurlow, and I am the temporary acting director of the Pension Commission. And to your question, this particular section is being repealed elsewhere in the bill through Mr. Martin's obsolete date bill over in Article 13. And so that's why we don't need to worry about amending the language because the section is being repealed because it must have been an obsolete date, which I'm assuming since it's military service on July 1st, 1978. So I think it's not necessarily affecting anything with the interest rate with the Metro Transit. It's just an obsolete section of law that needs to be repealed. That will be repealed elsewhere in the bill, so it doesn't need to be amended at this point.
Okay.
Senator Anderson. Members, do you have any other questions? Senator Pappas, I don't know if the testifiers that are listed before us are individuals who are here to respond to questions, or are you aware?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay, so let's just continue with this, with the bill, and then we will call the testifiers. Members, any questions, any clarifications you need? Okay, thank you. I have Shana Jones, Keith Carlson, and Gary Carlson listed as people who wish to testify. Could you please approach the table? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Shana Jones. I'm the policy director at PERA.
Thank you. Please proceed.
My comments this afternoon are limited to Section 5 of Article 14 in the bill. At Pension Commission last Wednesday, an amendment was offered that would add a 12th member to the PERA Board of Trustees. The PERA Board of Trustees did not have the benefit of vetting this idea or considering it. So at the end of the meeting last Wednesday, I was going to go back and do a little bit more research to try to see where PERA would stand on this proposal. We don't have a current board position, but our board president did call a special meeting of the Board of Trustees tomorrow morning. So at this moment in time, we cannot say that we support the provision and would like to have it removed for the time being until our board can fully consider the proposal.
Madam Chair and members, I forgot to mention this, and I asked for a board position from PERA, so we're fully prepared if PERA does not support the additional board member to remove it. And Ms. Jones and I have been in conversation about this.
This is page 194, members. Lines 194, 12, 13, and 14. Is that correct, Senator Pappas?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's correct.
Just remember who.
Right.
The whole section.
So
actually, yes, section 5.
Section
the whole section.
This came from a House member in Pension Commission. Okay. And we're trying to actually track down how that member would feel if we just removed it.
Okay.
Yes, I would move we would remove it.
Okay. Is that...
Madam Chair, it doesn't matter. Actually, okay. If the members would like to remove it, it's a little controversy in the bill. But we're not even sure if it's controversial since the board hasn't acted yet.
Okay.
It came in kind of at the end of Pension Commission.
So Senator Hall moves that we remove that provision in Subdivision 1. Would that be the correct motion? Could you please help me?
You want to remove Article 14, Section 5.
So that we delete Article 14, Section 5. Senator Hall moves that. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The motion is adopted.
There, you took all the controversy out of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Hall.
Sorry.
Mr. Carlson, there are two Mr. Carlsons that need that are in the agenda. Please.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. We represent 852 city employers. And actually, you just took action on one of the things I was going to urge you to take out of the bill, the issue about the additional representation on the PERA board. My association has not had time to look at that issue and carefully consider its implications. The PERA Board of Trustees has currently three employer representatives. It has, I believe it is, four employee representatives and two retiree representatives. This would have added one additional employee representative or retiree representative. So we applaud you for just taking that piece out of the bill. The only other things I would mention on Article 14 is that we're going to watch very closely to make sure that the contributions by the employers and the state into that plan are sufficient and do not require any future increase in the employer contributions from the general PERA plan. We have no problem with the MRF merger, but we want to make sure that the cost of the MRF merger does not shift anything to employers that were not part of the MRF system, that should all be borne by those employers and by the state. So I'm not asking you to take any action. I just want to highlight that for you. And then finally, I'd like to say that we support Article 5, Section 2 of the bill that provides more opportunity for the PERA Board of Directors to consider additional information about when a contribution increase is necessary. We just went through an exercise this last year, and it was decided by the Pension Commission to override a recommendation. Long and short is we think that the provisions that are included in Article 5, Section 2 are a good improvement in the current state statute, and we do support those. Madam Chair, I would stand for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Carlson? Thank you for your testimony.
Madam Chair, members, I'm Keith Carlson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Intercounty Association, and I basically would echo Mr. Gary Carlson's comments. Just to give you a little bit further background regarding the proposed MRF representative on the board, that individual would technically represent about 4,000 individuals in a plan that has about 250,000 members between retirees and active employees. So in all frankness, we question the necessity of giving a specific representation to that relatively small portion of the board, and hope that this puts to rest that issue. With that, I'll conclude. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. So, Mr. Carlson, there is no other small group that has that kind of representation. This will be kind of a unique that 4,000 people have a representative in the board?
Madam Chair, members, that's correct. There's no group that small that has representation on the board currently or anything close to it, frankly.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions for Mr. Carlson?
Pardon me?
Thank you. Yes.
Questions?
Any questions? I was asking the members. Any clarifications? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carlson. Well, it seems that there was only one provision that was controversial, and we took care of it for you, Senator Pappas. Now, I don't know what's going to happen next, but at least that portion is out.
Madam Chair, I think we have to
Senator
go to
Pappas.
Rules Committee from here. Is that correct?
I think we're going to be sending it to finance.
To finance. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That sounds right. I mean, I think it has to go there. So, yeah.
Okay. So it has to go to finance. So it will go from finance to here, from here. Okay. Senator Pappas, if you wish to make a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move that Senate Bill 1398 amended be recommended pass and sent to the Committee on Finance.
On that motion, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator. Members, we have confirmation that we need to do today, and we will continue our confirmations in the next meeting, which I don't think we have scheduled yet, but probably will be Monday, right? But we have the Gambling Control Board.
So we're here now?
Yeah. Welcome to our committee, and we appreciate that. If you could please take your conversation outside. Thanks. Welcome to our committee. We appreciate that you came and would like to hear a little bit about your background. This committee's responsibility is to submit a recommendation for appointment to the Senate. So we welcome to you to our committee, and if you could please proceed. I believe we have I have two members. I don't know who wishes to start.
Madam Chair, if I may, I just thought,
please,
I'd come along. I'm Tom Barrett, Director of the Gambling Control Board.
I appreciate that.
And just as an honor to introduce our two appointed members, Mr. Gino Fragnito, he's reapplied and been reappointed by Governor Dayton. And then to my immediate right, Beth Pinckney, a first-time appointee, also appointed by Governor Dayton. So with that brief introduction, I'm honored to introduce these two members for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Gino Fragnito, and I'm the Government Relations Director at the Minnesota CPA Society, so I spend a fair amount of time around the Capitol. I was originally appointed back in 2010 to the Gambling Control Board by Governor Pawlenty, and this past June was reappointed by Governor Dayton for a second term to serve as a public member on the board.
And members, you have Mr. Fragnito's resume in front of you, his application. You have any questions? Any comments? Thank you. And I need a motion to submit his name as a recommendation. Thank you. So Senator Johnson moves that we move Mr. Fragnito to recommend his appointment as a member of the Gambling Control Board to be confirmed by the Senate. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion is adopted. Thank you.
Hello, Madam Chair. My name is Beth Pinckney, and I am newly appointed to the Gambling Control Board. I currently am the Executive Director for the 2015 National Senior Games that will be happening this July, and I look forward to serving on the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Pinckney, for agreeing to be part of this. Members, any questions, any comments? If not, a member could move a motion.
I'll move that, Senator.
Thank you. Senator Thompson moves that Ms. Pinckney be recommended, that the committee recommends the appointment of Ms. Pinckney as a member of the Gambling Control Board to be confirmed by the Senate. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion is adopted. Thank you both for coming. We really appreciate that you were here. Senator Hall.
Madam Chair, as I was going through the appointments here and the applications that each of them had to look at or fill out, I noticed that they have a spot on the application that says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And I thought that that was not to be there by law, and yet I don't know who puts this out, if this is the governor puts this out or who. Am I mistaken on that, or is this application kind of, I hate to say illegal, but...
Is there someone from the governor's office?
I don't know if there's anybody from the governor's office. Senator Thompson, could you help us?
Madam Chair and Senator Hall, I don't know this for sure, but I do. What you're referring to is the ban the box legislation that was passed, and if my memory serves me correctly, and maybe counsel can help me here, I believe there was an exception if, in fact, that is a sensitive position where That is a significant issue for qualification for the job. And given that the individuals we've had in front of us today are going to be dealing with gambling in the state, I am just guessing there's a possibility that this would be an exception to the rule. But Ms. James, I might be off on that, but that's my guess.
Madam Chair, Madam Chair and members, I don't know the answer to this. I will look and provide an answer. Okay. And I don't know if it applied to the state or if it only applied to private employers, so I'm checking.
Okay. Thank you.
And we will ask the governor's office. Unfortunately, there is no one here. But sure. I remember, Senator Hall, that somebody asked that question about another board. So I think that there is a practice that they check on this for all boards, but I really don't know. So we will investigate, and we will make sure that we have an answer.
Good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
For you and the members of the committee, because I really don't know what their procedure is, but they do have a procedure, obviously, in place. So, members, we're going to meet. So a couple of issues that I wanted to explain. As you recall, there are a couple of members who have been working on a couple of issues. The most, I think, known one is the one that Senator Kathy Sharon has been working on for the Child Protection Review. Out of that particular process in DHS, they have made multiple decisions, and a couple of decisions require that there's a rule provision that they have to incorporate into that bill in order to adopt the recommendations of the task force. And there is also a child mortality review panel that is going to be put in place or change the configuration. I am not exactly clear how that is. But technically, that bill is supposed to come here to approve the board as well as the rule process. And there is also another bill that they've been working on for a couple of years on workers' compensation provision. And there is a committee, it's a bipartisan committee. They already finished their work and everything has been approved. But there is a rule provision or a committee provision. I'm not clear. I haven't seen the language. That also requires that they come through this committee. So we are going to have to wait for those bills, and we're going to have a hearing in order for them to move forward. So as soon as I get those provisions, we will schedule a hearing. Hopefully that will be many of you who are in those different committees have heard that language and are familiar with what is going on. I don't serve in any of the committees, so I am not clear exactly as to what the language is, but it will be coming here. And we also have about three boards, including the Metropolitan Council Board, that we need to approve. And there are 17 members in that particular board, and there are seven in another. So we're going to do our best to secure the time so that these individuals can come and at least, you know, do what the board before you did today. So at least you know who these individuals are, you know their names, and you have the resume in front of you so that if you have any questions, you can follow up, if not here, later on. So if you have any questions with respect to that, just let me or the staff know. But that's the plan. So we probably will have two more hearings, as soon as I am given a room and I have given the actual bills, we will let you know what the schedule is. I don't know if you have any questions or anything that you would like to share with me. If not, that's... Oh, you have the answer. Okay, good. Great. So we have an answer, Senator, for you for the... Madam Chair
and members, in 2009, the state passed a state law that required public employers to wait until a job applicant has been selected for an interview before asking for criminal records. And it also made it illegal for public employers to disqualify a person from employment or to deny them a license because of their criminal background. There is an exception, though, for positions that require... this section does not prohibit an employer from notifying applicants that the law or the employer's policy will disqualify an individual with a particular criminal history background from employment in particular positions. So there's an exception. And also, the section does not apply to employers who have a statutory duty to conduct a criminal history background check. And, of course, the Gambling Control Board does have that power to do, requirement to do background checks.
So maybe they do require this, but we will get more information from the governor's office too as well, because I think it's good for us to know.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? If not, this is all for today. Thank you very much. The meeting will adjourn.